Tonight we're going to be looking at prayer and faith. Prayer and faith. Now, as I give you a definition here, when I'm talking about prayer, I'll give you a basic definition. Then when I get into faith as the next one, I'm going to read the scripture with the definition, and then we'll talk about it to a little more. One thing I can tell you that is very important. You cannot have prayer without faith. And without prayer, you won't have faith. You got to have them both. Because, see, if you don't have faith, who are you going to pray to? And if you have faith, faith comes through the prayer. Faith comes through the hearing of the Word of God. So both go hand in hand. Prayer is communication with God. Communicate, it's talking to God. And it's not talking to God with any particular tone of voice. You know, we preachers are good at that a lot of times where our voice changes when we... Well, the only reason I told you all, there was a study done on that one time, and one of my dear friends at... Gosh, he was really smart. He had a couple of PhDs, and when he did it, he found that when they, the big question was, why do ministers' voices change a lot when they're preaching? And he said during that study, they found that it had to be strictly by the Holy Spirit. It had to be by a special touch that would go over with them. Well, what you found out when you've been around church life, let me do it that way, using church life, when you've been around a church, and then you'll know it is, and you will read in scripture where the Lord and plus those who follow him many times would talk about the pious language, or that Satan had a way with words that sounded like that he was speaking on behalf of God. So what happened with the language or with the terminology or with our voices, the Satan knows what sounds godly and Satan knows what doesn't. Notice in the old days, for the us who are old days people, if you'll remember that, you know, in the King James, the King James Version, of the translation of the Bible, that we would hear these and thee and thou. Well, when you would hear somebody come and they're giving their testimony, the Lord came to me last night, and the Lord looked at me and said, Larry, thou'st art my servant. And well, anytime you hear that stuff, Jesus didn't talk that way. Jesus talked in common language. Jesus talked to be able and teaches us. Why are you going to preach in a language that nobody understands? So when people would come and say, well, this is what the Lord said to me last night, and then I hear them with the old English language, and I think, oh, gosh, come on, people. Get real. When God speaks to us, he speaks to us where we understand what he is saying. He speaks to us also where we are. And he speaks to us through our prayer life. And he speaks to us through our faith in him. I don't have faith in my faith. I have faith in Christ, not in how much faith that I have. So prayer and faith going together. Prayer is communicating with God. And people say, well, how do I know how to pray? What, do you know how to talk? Do you know how to talk to a friend? Then if you know how to talk to a friend, let me introduce you to the best friend you will ever have. And Jesus then will talk with you in a manner that you will understand. He's not going to talk to us and say, well, the Lord came to me and he left me in a fog. And I want to say, that wasn't the Lord. That may have been at the bottom of a bottle somewhere, but that wasn't God. God does not leave you in a fog. When God comes and God speaks to our heart, speaks to us from the inside. I have never heard an audible voice from God, but I have heard God speak to me many times. God speaks with other people's voice. God will speak in circumstances that I'll find myself in. God will speak to your heart. You know it's a word from the Lord, and you're sitting there, you know how you know it? Because you're getting so excited because you think, oh gosh, I'm so smart. And then you realize that wasn't you, that was God. It gave you an understanding of something, and it brings us back down to earth. God says, I will speak to you where you are. There is not an individual that exists. Let me say it again. Not an individual that exists that God cannot communicate with. Many individuals that exist choose not to listen to God who's attempting to communicate. That's why God himself says, in those days, meaning at the end of the age, you will stand before me without excuse, because I will have revealed myself to you. You can't blame it on the preacher. You can't blame it on the neighbor. You can't blame it on anybody. What are you going to do? Say, okay, Larry Vance didn't break it down for me. Well, good gracious. Larry Vance is so shallow in his teaching, we can't break down. You know, now when you're talking about, and I've been in sessions with folk and listening to them, and, you know, I felt sorry for me because I didn't have any idea what they were talking about. I mean, they were using words I'm not sure were really words, but I realized that I wasn't intelligent enough to recognize them. After I talked to them for a while, I thank God that I wasn't. So often we get caught up in ourselves. So often we get caught up in our own who I am, instead of who Christ is in me. Folks, we need to be who we are. We need to present Christ as to who Christ has presented himself to us as. We need to relate to the ones that Christ leads us to. So prayer is simply communication with God, talking to God. Faith is, Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay, what's faith? Faith is me realizing. It is a belief in or confident attitude toward God involving commitment to his will for my life or for one's life. Now, do I understand it? No. But I don't have to. Do I know that I'm saved? Yes. Because Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come, and whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What's the proof of my salvation? Well, I don't have to prove it to anyone, but the proof of my salvation is that I've read God's word, and I understand that whoever it is that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who believes that he came and did what he says he did, that person is saved. So what do we have again? We have the world standing out here saying, now, see, that's why I don't like you Christians, because you think you've got it, and it's too easy. Again, simplicity of the gospel turned all the intellects away from the gospel. It's just too simple. And I'll always say it to you all, and I'll say it again, if it's so simple, then why don't they all do it? Simplicity turns it away. Communicating with God is simply talking. Did you know that God will look into your heart, and it is the Holy Spirit that takes our prayers up for us? Now see, that's a depth of praying that I don't understand, and neither does anyone else, because that's why the Bible says that when we pray, that the Holy Spirit translates our prayers. Why? Because me and you, we're going to put so much frosting on that prayer. You know, we're going to try to hide. We're going to try to hide from wrongdoing, and we're going to try to hide from God. Now, God, I know you didn't see this, But let me tell you what I did, and I want to confess my sins. I know I did it when you weren't looking. You know, the foolishness of man. So the Holy Spirit will take the desire of the heart. You'll see by King David here in a moment. It was the heart that God was reading in King David. It was his heart. His actions weren't worth a damn, but he had a heart for God. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, you'll always notice this. We are told in Scripture to be thankful before you get it. You got to have a thankful heart, knowing it's coming. That's trust. That's the faith part. You know, and you'll always see him be thankful. Do you know that in the roll, you got the roll call of the saints, all of these you will see in the Scripture, of those greats of the old that you will hear. And then you've also got the roll call of the lost there also. And the roll call of the lost, there was one word right there with the murderer and all of this other stuff, and that was unthankful. The person that's unthankful is listed with all the vile sins of murder and all the other things that man committed. So being unthankful to God is a graver sin. When God hears us say thank you, God allows us the opportunity to thank him before we get it. Be thankful for God. What are you thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for everything that God has ever done in my life. And I'm also thankful for what he's going to do in my life. Anything good, the Scripture says, comes from God. Anything evil does not come from God. But it doesn't mean that God will not allow the bad things to happen. And when they do, and you thank God for getting you out of the mess, before you're out of the mess, I guarantee you, relief is coming, and it's coming quickly. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe, here it is, to be a Christian, must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Again, the interesting scripture of this scripture is that you have to believe that you're going to be rewarded. Many Christians try to kick that off because they say that sounds so selfish. Well, it doesn't sound selfish when you realize that at the point of when we truly enter heaven with Christ, that all of the rewards, we take that crown off and set it at the foot of Jesus. So then it shows us, and we understand, I'm saying that everything that I have, all the blessings of life, was a gift from my Lord. Therefore, I admit it by setting my crown at his feet. Then we understand why that the Word of God tells us that we have to believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If you said you're earnestly seeking God, and yet you're never searching for God, then you will find a God, but it won't be the God of heaven. To earnestly seek God is to totally have faith that he's already found you. My God is the creator of all. He's already found. He knew me. The Scripture said before I was ever even conceived, before earth ever began, he knew who I was going to be. That's a God I want to serve. All of the ones I never could understand the images. Have you all ever looked at some of these gods that people worship, you know, with they're spooky. The golden images and all, I don't care, the totem pole worship they said of the Indians. And I look at the totem pole and I thought, gosh, how could you worship something? I'd have nightmares as a kid looking at that stuff. And all of these gods that we create them monstrously. And the reason is, God is the one who's created us in his image. You and I if we create or attempt to recreate God in our image, we're going to come up with a monstrous looking human being. And that monster is what's on the inside of the individual that creates it. Okay. Prayer is a mighty force of faith. God does things in answer to faithful prayer that he would not do otherwise. Okay. Let me try this, see if I can get when God created everything, he says, okay, I've created the salvation process. This was all done before time. And he created a salvation process, which everyone knew from the beginning of anybody knowing anything, that the Messiah was coming. And that Messiah was the salvation process. So all things leading straight up to Christ. Then God says, I want to create what we call Mother Nature. And what he has said about the human beings and everything that exists, okay, I want you all, us, I want you to grow, and I want you to have a freedom of choice. You choose to serve me or you choose not to. It's a freedom. It's a choice that you have. But now during all of your growth period, there are going to be ups and downs. You're going to feel like you're on the fastest and the slowest roller coaster of life that you've ever been on. Now, but during that period of time, I allow the valleys and I allow the mountaintop experiences. But now, if I have a special task for you, if there's something special that's going to be going on in your life that I need you for, I will give you the power at that time. And it's what we call superhuman because it's of God. You will be given the power at that time to do whatever it takes. Okay, nature, here it is. What do you got? You got storms. What happened? Well, God put a curse upon the earth because of the sin. And the curse was on the earth. And during the curse time, remember, man wasn't cursed in the Garden of Eden. There was no curse brought against Adam and Eve. When people said, well, Eve was cursed to have a baby. No, read it again. That was a blessing for her to have a baby. I've just never met a woman who had a baby that counted it as a blessing during the process. Now, some may have. I don't know. I never had one. Quit smiling, Jane. Think of it this way. So, what God has said, he said, I've created the, you know, every time I get into talking about that kind of stuff, either my wife or somebody just gives me that look. Well, really, you never had one, huh? We thought that probably you did or so. But when you talk about the how the weather is going, is there not a storm? When a storm, does it not rain on the just as well as the unjust? You got that? Okay, what about the time, though, when the storm's coming and you'll listen to the family talk or somebody says, well, yes, that storm picked up my child and gently laid my child right down there on the ground. My child is fine. You will find that during the storms of life, God will intervene. He will intervene in a way as an answer to prayer that he would normally not. But when prayer goes up, that's why we pray, folks. If our prayers don't mean anything, then why don't we quit praying? If I'm praying for someone that God, would you please give them the health, if it's within your will to allow them to live, your church needs them, your ministry needs them. Father, I lift them to you in prayer. God will never allow you to live past. Remember, there is an appointment for you to die. You cannot surpass that appointment. Jesus couldn't have passed that appointment. But you could also be killed prior to the appointment through your foolishness. That's why we pray for our kids every time we give them car keys. Right, Josh? A lot of prayer went up for you, son. And that's why that we do those type of things. We do it because we know that God will answer the prayer and do the protection. So, prayer, faithful prayer, God will answer. Sometimes he doesn't answer it the way we want him to, which means that's a good prayer, a good answer for that prayer. James 5, 16, 18, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Okay. I know I preached on that and taught on that for years. You know, I've been here so many years. I think I may have taught on about everything. There are 18 years, 19 years this January I will have been here. Gosh. Confess your sins to each other. Catch that part. You do not have a right. I do not have the right. You do not have the right to go to someone and say, okay, now I'm going to confess Brother Larry's sins to you. No, you don't have that right. I'm going to confess to you what somebody else did to me. No, no. You talk to the somebody else that did it. You talk to the individual that you had done something against. You let them know that. You make sure the confession of your sin is to each other. Meaning if you have done something wrong to one another, then you confess it. Ask for the forgiveness from that individual. I cannot ask for you to forgive. Or let me do it. I cannot go up and say, Josh, I'm sorry that bad guy over there hit you upside the head. I can't apologize for that guy. And it's not going to help him. He's already been slapped upside the head. You get it? Okay, I can't do that. I don't have that authority to apologize for the actions of someone else. So it's got to be me and it's got to be you. We all have to accept it ourselves. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. Now you catch this? Remember, too many Christians, when they look back and say, oh, it's the great prophets because they were so much greater than we were. And walk around. No, the scripture tells us Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Prayer from a man just like us. Abraham prayed through faith with commitment. Here are the different types of prayers. Through faith with commitment, Romans 4:3. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham simply, God said, okay, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of nations. And Abraham said, okay. And God said, Abraham, I want you to pack up everything that you have, your family, and I want you to move. Where am I going, Lord? I'll show you when you get there. And Abraham said, okay. And he went. And the scripture then tells us Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Okay, so he believed God, took him at his word, and he was counted righteous. You and I believe Jesus came, died on the cross for us, and in our belief in him, we are made righteous. It's always been the same story, folks. Moses prayed through faith with concern. When the Israelites made and worshipped idols, man, they were the worst about this. Have you all noticed that? Every time they get ticked at God, they'd go create an idol. And always got mad at God. What'd they get? They got mad because God was feeding them angel food instead of pheasants. And then they prayed and said, God, you know, or Moses, we want the meat. We want the meat that we had in Egypt. Moses said, you got it. Had that snarl. And the scripture tells us that he made the birds or the pheasants flew so low that they were catching them. They were just everywhere. And then this is the old English that I loved. And it says, ere the meat was between their teeth and they died. It was for the desire of Egypt, what it had, rather than being content with what God was giving them. God was giving them angel food. See, they didn't have to get on a diet. That like angel food cake stuff, you know, you just eat that and you... So they had that angel food, but they didn't want angel food. They wanted meat that they're getting in Egypt. And God said, you got it. And so they were dying by the thousands. Ere while the meat was between their teeth. when the Israelites made and worshiped idols, God threatened to destroy them. But here's that prayer y'all hear me talking about. But Moses intervened through prayer. Exodus 32:30-35. The next day, Moses said to the people, "You have committed a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." Listen to it. "Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." So Moses went back to the Lord and said, "Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now, please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written." Remember, I gave you the book, which is the book of life, and the other books were the book of the living. Okay, you got to, and blot me out. But now listen what the Lord told Moses. The Lord replied to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book." Okay, Moses, you can't do that. You cannot be the atonement for the sins of this nation. My son's coming. There is one coming. He's going to be the ultimate Messiah. The Messiah is coming, and he is the only one that can die and give a freedom of righteousness to the world, of whosoever believes in him. Same thing was going on with Abraham. Remember, Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. And as Abraham's getting ready to sacrifice his own son, you see the angel stepping in and said, "Whoa, no, it's not going to happen like that." The ram was caught in the bushes. Remember that he did sacrifice. Well, that again reminds us only Christ was going to do that. Great lessons in between that, though. "Now go, lead the people to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. However, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sins." Them. They would be punished according to what they had done within the sin. Each individual differently, even. "However," okay. "And the Lord struck the people with a plague. Much rather have you punish me any day than God." Judgment of God, you don't want anything to do with. I don't even want to be around it when it's coming on someone else. That's the power of the judgment of God. Okay. "Because of what they did with the calf Aaron had made." David prayed through faith with repentance. Acts 13:21-23. "Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish." Remember why they asked for a king? They were different from any other nation. Yeah, they were different. They were more blessed than all nations on the earth. They had it greater, but they were griping because we want to be like everybody else. I hear a lot of that in America today. We want to be like the European countries. Well, move. Fly over there if that's what you want to be, but don't bring them here. Didn't mean the people don't bring them here. I'm saying don't bring that attitude or socialism to this nation. I'll check that on the email in the morning. "The tribe of Benjamin, who ruled for 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king." He, who? God. Okay, they asked for a king. God said, "Okay, you got one right there. The sharpest, best looking man in the land, Saul was. Stood taller than anybody, best looking, you got him." That didn't work too well for him. Then God said, "I'll pick the next. David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised." Had to be a man after God's own heart. Jesus then became God's heart. He is God incarnate, remember? The man after God's own heart committed a grievous sin. I got grievance. Well, it's grievous sin against God. But in faith and humble prayer, David repented of his sins. Psalm 51:1, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. What did David do? David said, I'm guilty of what I've done. Didn't blame it on anybody else. He said, I'm guilty of what I've done. Daniel prayed through faith with courage. Daniel, remember, the decree had been said, anybody prays to a god other than King Darius, then they would be thrown in a den of lions. So the decree had been published, Daniel 6:10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Meaning he did not miss a beat. He was not afraid of man's decree because he had respect for what God had said. You know, throw me in the lion's den, go ahead. They soon found out that the God, remember the God that was in charge of the hornets going in, well, and how many times God had used creatures to fight the battle. Everything belongs to God, including the lion. Daniel was cast into a den of lions because of his faith and prayer life. God honored his courageous devotion and faith and protected him. He didn't remove him. Many people say, get me out of this situation. Why? You're going to just get in another one. Don't remove yourself from life. Don't remove yourself from the world because you can't do that. Because you're just going to step in it somewhere else. What do? You ask in faith, you pray, and believe that God will deliver you and give you the strength to endure. Whatever the situation is, whatever the hurt is, God says, I will help you. I will deliver you. He didn't remove him, but protected him from the lions. Lions were hungry, remember? Gosh. And Moses, Daniel sitting in there chatting with the lions. I wonder what you do all night long when you're with the lions. And you see that depicted by a lot of pictures of where, you know, the lion and this lion's plural. Here he's got one laying where he's got using him as a pillow and the other a couple of more, keeping him warm and all of that. Okay, here's the way it went. And I got for you on the last page. Abraham prayed through faith with commitment. Moses prayed through faith with concern. David prayed through faith with repentance. Daniel prayed through faith with courage. But Jesus prayed through faith with compassion for us. Luke 23:34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments, and they cast lots. Father, forgive them. That prayer is the prayer, my friends, of proof that no one can ever, in the presence of God, once you have said yes to Jesus Christ, once you have followed him through that, and let me get this right for us. When I say yes to Jesus Christ, I'm saved. But when I go into baptismal pool, I go there to confess Jesus. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm openly confessing Christ as my Savior. Now, if I died before getting baptized, I'm in heaven, folks. But that is my confession. And every chance you get to confess Christ, do it. I'm not saying every chance you get to be baptized, because there's a few people told me I need to, well, a couple told me I need to be rebaptized and held under longer. But that doesn't help either. I remember at one point years ago when you stand for the Lord and you stand for truth, so often you get a lot more enemies than you want. And I remember a prayer group that was going around praying for Vine Grove Baptist Church because of the Antichrist, Larry Vance. I said, Lord, don't hear that prayer, please. Don't pay attention to them. And I'm going to...